Tonight we're in Numbers chapter 25. Numbers 25. Numbers 25. Remember, we've been dealing with Balaam and all of his attempts to prophesy against Israel, and God intervened there, and that didn't work for them. And now we see the consequences of things that took place because of Balaam's visit there, and this is sad. But chapter 25 begins in verse number 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. All right, now, you stop and think about this. All right, these people, they're just about ready to enter into the promised land now. They're in the Jordan Valley. Remember, they were down there in that Jordan Valley. They've been down there for a little bit of time now. And they're waiting to, they can see across the Jordan River. They can see over there to Jericho. They can look across the river and they see what's coming in the promised land. And most all of the, perhaps some of the older generation was dying in this problem right here. I don't know. But this may have been some of the younger generation. It doesn't really tell us who these people are. But there's going to be some major problems here because they suddenly, just like that, they turn against God and they start worshiping Baal and they commit immorality with the Moabites. You'd think that they would have known better than that. But, I mean, a lot of times we do things even though we know we shouldn't do them. And they probably knew they shouldn't do it too, but they did it anyway and got themselves into all kinds of problems. Part of Baal worship, there was prostitution involved in Baal worship. They would go to the temple for Baal worship, and that was all part of their worship, and just kind of, you know, disgusting, the immorality that was involved in this kind of worship of their false gods. And we see there that this was no accident, because in Numbers chapter 31, you might want to just flip over there and take a look at verse number 31:16. It says, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." So, here's the reason. Why did they do that? Because Balaam, even though he couldn't curse them, he told the Moabite people, if you seduce the Israelites, send all your women over there to seduce them and to draw them into immorality and get them into your Baal worship, you will destroy them through that. And he told them, and that's exactly what happened. So Balaam's to blame. He was not a good guy. Like I told you before, I don't understand old Balaam, but Balaam's now gone. You know, well, he will be dying as they enter into the land. He's going to die in some of the battles, but Balaam's causing problems here. Over in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, it mentions the same thing in the light of all this. Revelation chapter 2 talks about falling into the sin of Balaam. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who's taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat the things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. All right, so once again, God tells us here, Balaam was to blame. Balaam did this. This was what he did. He caused the Moabites to go over there and to seduce them into immorality and to lead them into idolatry, and knowing very well that that would corrupt them and God would get very angry with them. And that's exactly what we see in verse number 4. "And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people," now that's not talking about the heads on their shoulders, but the leaders, "and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel." All right, now, as I mentioned there, the heads there, they're talking about the leaders, not the, you know, they weren't chopping heads and hanging up the heads. And then it says, against the sun. That phrase there, against the sun, means it needs to be done publicly and before the sun goes down, during the daytime, so everybody could see it. This is what was happening. So they took all these people that were the leaders, that were leading the people in this direction, and he was to take them. And Moses said in verse number, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one his men that are joined unto Baal Peor. All right, so God's order was that they were to send the judges of Israel. Now, who might the judges of Israel be? Any ideas? Probably the 70, remember there was the 70 men that were helpers of Moses. Remember when Moses cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't do this, I need help. And God chose 70 people to join with him and to help him. And it was probably them, doesn't say for sure, but probably them that were these 70 leaders. And they were to get their swords and they were to go in there and to slay all the people. And there, each one of them, remember, they each one had a jurisdiction of their own. And so each one of them was to go and slay the men in their area that was involved in this worship of Baal Peor. All right? It certainly did, and we're going to see how much it did in just a few moments here. Verse number 6, and behold, one of the children of Israel came into and brought unto his brother a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, you know, this just shows you the foolishness of people's hearts and how evil people can be. They had just wiped out a whole bunch of people, and we're going to find out it was about 14,000 of them, wiped them out because of their sin of idolatry and immorality. And this guy, right in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation, he goes over and finds a girlfriend in the Moabites and brings her into the camp, takes her into his tent, and they're committing immorality. Right in front of everybody. Something. Verse number 7, and when the Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, right, so he was a priest. Remember, there was Aaron and his son Eleazar and his son Phinehas. So Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, the priest, saw it. He rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into his tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. And the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. I said 14,000. It's 24,000. The died in the plague was 24,000. Now, 24,000 people died because of Balaam's counsel. Tragic. And to think that they would all fall for that, it's, you know, how quickly the people of Israel fell over into the idolatry. Now, just think in your mind a little bit. Why would that be the case? I mean, if someone was coming here, not, I realize there was two aspects of this. One of them was the immorality, and we can all understand how they're tempted by immorality. But why were they tempted by the Baal worship? What would have seduced them to do that? Why would have they even had that in their thoughts? Any ideas? Why would they be tempted with that? I mean, they've been out of Egypt for 40 years. All their parents who had been in Egypt and saw the idolatry of Egypt were dead now. But later on you read, and I can't remember where, but the Lord tells us that during the 40 years of their wanderings, God said, you again and again were worshiping your idols. So apparently they had secret little idols that they were hiding and worshiping the whole time. They were idolatrous people. They just couldn't get it out of their system. They wanted something they could see, something tangible. And I think that's one of the things that...
something tangible that they could see.
Yeah, they wanted something. And see, that is one of the hardest things. Yeah, that is one of the hardest things about worshiping Jehovah God. You can't see him. And so a lot of people think, well, you're just praying to the air. You can't see him. And so that does make it hard. There's no question about that. But that's where our faith in Christ comes in. So 24,000 of these people died. And then verse number 10. Make sure I didn't miss anything here. One thing that in your notes here, that this whole thing that took place here with Dunham, it says Phinehas the priest intervenes halfway down in the first column, and then if this is in chronological order, this event here with this man bringing this woman, and it was probably the very next day after this thing had all taken place, or very closely after that. And then David Guzik, who is a commentator, he points out that in this chapter, the women of the and their people are sometimes described as Midianites and sometimes as Moabites. This is because the Midianites were nomadic people and at this time were in high numbers among the Moabites. Okay, they weren't the same people, but they did kind of live amongst each other sometimes. And we see a similar thing. I think it was even with the with Joseph when he was taken captive. I think one aspect talks about Moab and the other aspect talks about Midian. Probably the same reason because of that.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
When it says the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, is it about the killing or was it
a
plague that isn't mentioned?
The plague must have been something separate because, you wouldn't call it a plague that the 70 elders went out and killed their men.
And those that died in the plague was 24,000.
Yeah.
And that doesn't count those that were killed.
So maybe that was in addition to the other ones. I don't know. There was a lot of people killed. No question about it. A lot of people died, and it was not a nice thing. Okay? All right. And then in verse number 10, see, make sure I haven't overlooked. I've got different notes here that I've handwritten in as well. Okay. On the second column, the first full paragraph, it says, a total of 24,000 died in the incident. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, we read that 23,000 fell in one day. Evidently, 1,000 were died after the initial day of slaughter in connection with the couple killed by Phinehas. Nobody really knows for sure, but that's an explanation that one gives. And it makes pretty good sense. You know, for 24,000 people to suddenly fall into immorality and Baal worship, we know that they were weak spiritually. And it's just a warning to us. You know, that we think, well, we would never do that. Well, yeah, Peter said he would never deny the Lord too, and then he did. So we need to be careful.
It's the same throughout the history of Israel, right through to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. They were idolatrous. That was their main problem.
Yeah, there was a lot of idolatry, and the Lord hated that. That was a real big problem. Okay, and so as we look on down in verse number 10, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, while even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Okay? Now, so Phinehas was honored by the Lord because of the courage that he did in that. You know, it wasn't him just taking vengeance into his own hands. The Lord had already condemned that. The Lord had already wiped out a whole bunch of people because of that. And yet they didn't learn. And so he was stepping in and further taking action when this event took place. Okay. Then verse 14, it says, now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, the prince of the chief of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cosby, the daughter of Zur. He was the head of a people and the chief of the house of Midian. Okay. Then we see that Israel fights against Moab in verse number 16. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Vex the Midianites and smite them. For they vexed you with their wiles." The wiles there, what's the word wiles mean? Yeah, their tricks and their deceitfulness, okay? So they vexed you through with their wiles, wherefore they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of the prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague of Peor, for Peor's sake. All right? So we see here that God tells him to go fight against or to vex the enemy here. Now the word vex there literally means to bind, to distress, to besiege, or to oppress. So it was some sort of opposition. They were distressing them, besieging them, oppressing them. It doesn't necessarily say fighting in battle, but they were showing great opposition toward them. Right, probably very strongly saying, no more of your people coming into this area. You're not welcome here. And giving them a hard time and vexing them for that. Okay. Now, some principles for today. Zimri's shameless, bold immorality reminds us of the immoral plague of our day. Many people, including many professing Christians, see nothing wrong with living with a partner outside of marriage. God clearly condemns that in Romans 13:13, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, and Hebrews 13:4. Okay. Sexual sins are a great curse to God's people. This has never been truer than today. Do not underestimate the great danger. You know, we live in a very dangerous world today. There's never been a time in history that ungodly immorality and pornography is so readily available to everybody, from the kids all the way up to adults. And it's tragic. And innumerable Christians have lost their fellowship with God because of their unconfessed and unforsaken sexual sins. We must flee this like a plague. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace within the call of the Lord out of a pure heart. Sin grieves God, and he cannot overlook it. You know, I think if there's one thing that we should learn from the Old Testament again and again and again, especially in the book of Numbers, that God hates sin. God hates sin. And yet, we forget that so easily. While we are to love the sinner, we are to hate his sin, we must strongly vex or oppress, or oppose every form of sexual sin. Clearly warn our children, guard our minds, and filter our media. We've got to do it, folks. We've got to. Because there's so much out there. I mean, it's just so open. Who would have ever dreamed 50 years ago? A lot of you weren't around 50 years ago, but some of us were. We never would have dreamed of all the open homosexuality and perversion that we see in our world today. You just never would have dreamed of it. To show my antiquity, I remember when I was in high school, I was probably in year 9 before I ever heard the word drugs. Never knew what it was. When I first heard it, I thought, I wonder what that is. No idea. Drugs. And I mean, you know, it just, I know we were out in the country and stuff like that, but still, there was drugs around, but I didn't know what they were. It wasn't anything that you hardly heard of. Now, by the time I finished high school, yeah, there was a lot more talk about them and it was openly. But, you know, so much has changed since then. That was in the 70s. And so much has changed. So.